Thank you, Sue. Very nice. Got a few messages this morning. Please bear with me. And I guess today's a special day, isn't it? Mother's Day. I guess some got breakfast in bed this morning. No, or some got breakfast anyway. Happy Mother's Day to all the mums. And welcome to any visitors we have this morning. And please feel free to stay after church for coffee and refreshments over in the hall. And we look forward to what the Lord will say through our brother Les this morning. And a couple of other things. Tuesday morning coffee, 10 a.m. at the Abbey Cottage Cafe in the Burnoff Centre on Ruthven Street. Just look for the blue umbrellas and you can't miss it. I won't give any more information than that. KYB Ladies Study, 12 p.m. on Monday. And extra books can be ordered from Diane, I believe. So contact Diane if you need some extra books there. And 9:30 a.m. Thursday, the Sunday School Room, Peter Cass's study on Knox's Confession. For men and women, come along and find out what it's all about. The prayer group on Friday morning at 9 a.m. In the Sunday School Room. And it's a very good study. Now, I have a little message to read, and I better read it because that's all typed up for me. So welcome back to St. David's Day next Sunday, the 17th of May. Apart from you, our regular congregation, we need to know for catering purposes about other friends and family coming. If you haven't already told him, please let Bob Steggle know today in the hall or early this week. There are more invitations in the foyer and in the hall. We already have a good number of friends associated with St. David's in the past years coming, so you're all assured of a happy celebration day. Okay, I don't think I've missed anything else there. So it's over to our brother Les. Thank you, Les.
Morning, everybody, and we're going to worship our wonderful God, praise him together with our voices, and feed upon his word this day. So the psalmist reminds us of these words. Open to me the gates of righteousness that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous shall enter through it. I thank you that you have answered me and you have become my salvation. The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvellous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Let's join in our voices and sing praises to our God with our first hymn 61, The Lord is King. Lift up your voice. Let's just come before our wonderful God in prayer. Let's pray. Almighty God, Heavenly Father, we come in this time of worship to praise you, to give you the glory, and just acknowledge how awesome and wonderful you are. You are our Abba Father, creator of all things, sustainer of all things, the one who has blessed all of your people in abundance, will continue to do so. And that ultimate blessing is to be with you there in that kingdom of glory. We thank you and we praise you for that every single day. We come to worship you together, united in Christ Jesus, encouraged by being together on this, the Lord's Day. As you draw us together, Heavenly Father, we pray that your word will delve into our hearts, challenge us all, as you do every single day. But also remind us in this time, gracious God, of our total dependence upon you. Remind us also that we are not worthy to be in your presence. We still sin against you. We still hurt you. We still grieve you. Our sins are there, Heavenly Father, even as your beloved children. We all acknowledge that none of us are perfect. So forgive us for our unrighteousness. Forgive us for hurting you so deeply through our sinfulness. You know our hearts. We confess our sins before you this day, resting in your love, resting in that promise of forgiveness through Jesus, resting in that eternal hope that we always have. So, gracious God, as you forgive us, through your Holy Spirit, work in our lives, work in our hearts as you have cleansed it. Guide us, help us, protect us from the attacks of the evil one. Strengthen our faith, Heavenly Father, that we can live lives for your glory. Help us to resist the temptations of sin. That we rest each day in that promise of forgiveness through Jesus, our blessed Redeemer, our risen Lord. Gracious God, just how awesome is it be being one of your beloved children. So hear our prayer. We bring it to you in and through the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our living Saviour, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Well, let's praise our awesome God again. We're going to praise him by singing our next hymn, Immortal, Invisible, God Only Wise. Testament lesson, and David's going to come and read it for us. Thanks, bro.
Our first reading today is from Isaiah chapter 66, verses 1 to 6. Thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. What is the house that you would build for me? And what is the place of my rest? All these things my hand has made, and so all these things came to be, declares the Lord. But this is the one to whom I will look, he who is humble and contrite in spirit and trembles at my word. He who slaughters an ox is like one who kills a man. He who sacrifices a lamb, like one who breaks a dog's neck. He who presents a grain offering, like one who offers pig's blood. He who makes a memorial offering of frankincense, like one who blesses an idol. These have chosen their own ways, and their soul delights in their abominations. I also will choose harsh treatment for them and bring their fears upon them. Because when I called, no one answered. When I spoke, they did not listen. But they did what was evil in my eyes and chose that in which I do not delight. Hear the word of the Lord, you who tremble at his word. Your brothers who hate you and cast you out for my name's sake have said, let the Lord be glorified, that we may see your joy. But it is they who shall be put to shame. The sound of an uproar from the city, a sound from the temple, a sound of the Lord rendering recompense to his enemies. This is the word of God. Amen.
It's an interesting passage, that one. A couple of key verses on about the blood and all that. It's just a reminder from our God that that's not what he looks at. He looks at the humble and contrite in heart. We're going to dedicate our offering to the Lord. We'll just stand and praise our God. And Bob's going to come and lead us in prayer. Thanks, bro.
Let us pray. Father, we thank you for our places of worship here and at GM. Thank you for this beautiful church building and peaceful gardens. Thank you for all those who faithfully care for the property week by week, and for those who answer the needs to serve in its various ministries. We pray for others who use the facilities, the embroiderers, the tennis players, the dancers. Amongst today, there are some who mourn, some who are sad as they watch family and friends ill or dying, some who are lonely, in pain or restricted physically. We remember quietly those known to us specially. We also especially remember our mothers and grandmothers. Thank you for the opportunity to celebrate St. David's next Sunday. We pray for everyone who comes, those who travel from beyond Toowoomba,
those returning to what was once their place of worship and fellowship. We pray for the teacher, whom most of us don't know, that we may deliver a message of love and reconciliation. We pray for our session clerk, Wayne Bryan, that he may be enabled and encouraged to do the many tasks required of him. We pray for session, that its members will be very prayerful and mindful of their duty of loving and care for the people of St David's. We pray for a presbytery meeting in Dalby on Thursday. May the decisions and choices be God-given, led by His Spirit, not insisting on personal agendas or influenced by others. We pray for Les Fowler and others there to know Your wisdom, compassion and quiet presence and direction in all that they do and say. Amen. Sorry, I didn't finish. Sorry, I haven't finished. We long for our own Shepherd Lord, and thank You that You know all our hearts and hopes. May we leave here today comforted by the certainty that, while we don't know how to pray as we ought, the Spirit Himself intercedes for us and groanings too deep for words. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks, Bob. And Peter's going to come and read our New Testament lesson for us.
Our second reading today comes from the Gospel of Luke, Chapter 18, verses 9 to 17, for those who prefer to use the Pew Bible, page 877. So Luke writes, "He also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves, that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus, 'God, I thank You that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get.' But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, 'God, be merciful to me, a sinner.' I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. Now they were bringing even infants to him that he might touch them. And when the disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called them to him, saying, 'Let the children come to me and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God. Truly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not inherit it.'" This is the word of God.
Thanks, Peter. Well, we're going to praise our God again. We're going to sing our next hymn, "Make Me a Captive Lord." God's word this morning. And as we said, that passage from Isaiah is an interesting one, but it draws us back to our wonderful God. We're going to look mainly, though, at the passage from Luke. So I would encourage you, if you've got your Bibles, to open it up and work with us as we go through. But as we start, let's just bow our heads in prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that through your word you speak to us, you challenge us, you also refresh us. So in this time, Heavenly Father, speak to all of us through your word today. And we just pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're going to look at this passage from Luke's Gospel. We're continuing on from the previous one we were here with. And it's another one of those well-known parables of Jesus. And then there's some beautiful words in that last little bit about the children coming, being brought to Jesus. And they can be really bring joy to our hearts. But here we come to a parable, and Jesus taught so clearly through these ones, the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. Then Jesus goes and has a few harsh words to his disciples as they didn't want people bringing the little children to him. When you look at this parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector, one of the dangers is that we can say, well, oh yeah, it's easy because we're not like the Pharisee. We're not like that bloke who was completely stuck up in his own self-importance, in his own glory, if you like to say. We see ourselves more as the tax collector. But then we say, well, hang on. How do we work out, even in today's world, where we might be? We don't have people running around knocking on our door collecting taxes from us. We still don't like the tax collector, but, you know. But none of us can put ourselves in their shoes. None of us are really like the Pharisee, are we? Well, not today. But the reality is that we are like the Pharisee, because we ain't humble. We are not humble all the time. So often in our own little worlds, we get stuck in our own self-importance. And when we start to do that, then it's the case of saying, well, God, I'm important. Even you are not. This is why God is driving this home to us. We need to humble ourselves before him, to trust him completely. That's why the little message about the little children is there as well. Little children, an example. And they don't even know what being humble is all about. But they trust. They trust completely. So if we look at this passage, look at the opening verse and see what it has to say. There, verse 9. It also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. This is why he told the parable. It's nice when he tells us why he's saying something. He singles out that type of person then and now, who are stuck in their own self-importance, in their own little world, declaring that they don't need God, or they can put God on their timetable. He explains it to us. The Pharisee, and he uses it as them going to the temple. Here, an example of how people should be humble, especially before him. So look at verse 11 and 12. We'll read 10 as well. Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. And here we have the description of the Pharisee. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus, "God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes to all of all that I get." So this is how he fronts God. Almost like saying to God, "I'm too good even to be in your presence." Strutting his pride, strutting his arrogance, virtually saying, "This is how it works. I'm so good. I'm so perfect. I'm not like other people." Convinced that he is keeping the law, everything that's required by God, so he is righteous. He's convinced of his own importance. And he is convinced that he has set up that beautiful relationship with his God. But it's a relationship on his terms, not on God's terms. On the other hand, we have this tax collector. A very different prayer, isn't it, when you look at this passage in verse 13? But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." Very different attitude. Very different prayer. He knew his conditions. He knew where he stood before his God. No pride, no arrogance, but humbleness before his God. Now, I don't like to point out mistakes in Scripture, but there is one in this translation, because it drives it home even further. You'll notice on that verse 13, and we talked about this for hours when I was doing theology in Greek, and Greek terrifies me, but that's all right. But you'll notice there it says in this passage, "God be merciful to me, a sinner." That's not the right translation. Any of you people here know all about the English language and grammar and all that sort of stuff? I don't know too much about it. But do you know what a definite article is? Is anybody? They're all going, "Oh, no." It had to be explained to me too. But the word in this passage, when it uses the word "a," is not the right word. In the Greek, it is the definite article "the." So this guy is standing before his God and say, "Be merciful to me, the sinner." That's how deep his humbleness, his humility is gone before his God. Because that describes himself as not just being one of many, just part of a group of people, but the. He sees himself as the worst of sinners. Totally dependent upon his God. That's how humble he is before his heavenly Father. No self-importance is in his prayer. It's a total reliance upon the forgiveness of his God. He is prepared to humble himself before his God. And the passage goes on, I tell you, this man, this is the words of Jesus, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For anyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and the one who humbles himself will be exalted. Over in 1 Timothy, we read these words, 1 Timothy 1 and 15 to 17. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, that Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. But I received mercy for this reason, that in me, as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience as an example to those who were to believe in him for eternal life. To the King of the ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honour and glory forever and ever. Amen. This is how it is. Even here, Paul, writing to Timothy, sees himself as the worst of sinners, reminding us to humble ourselves before our Heavenly Father. God then receives all the glory, because it is all of him. He who humbles himself, as Jesus says, humility, the understanding that we rely totally on God in everything, especially in our Christian walk. We rely totally on God to declare us to be right with him. Humble in this world, but exalted in the world to come. This is the message that comes through this. Where are we? Is our self-importance, or whatever other words you want to use, blocking us? Or are we humble before our God? Humble before him every single day. It's not what we have done, but it is what God has done. Do we trust him? Is our faith so strong? Or are we still all trying to do our own thing and have God work on our timetable? That's dangerous territory. But here we see, humble before our God. Our approach, our standing before our God comes again through this next little passage about let the little children come to me. The tax collector humbled himself before his God. He knew that he needed Jesus. He knew that he needed his Heavenly Father. They brought the little children to Jesus so that he might bless them. The disciples rebuked them. Read it very carefully, though. Jesus here is not just talking about little children, little toddlers. But here he is talking about babies, those who totally rely upon those who love them and care for them. That's what he's talking about. Sounds like a Greek lesson today, but that's all right. The same Greek word that is used for baby here is the same word that was used to describe Jesus in the manger. That's how little the children are that Jesus is talking about. And the key word then is trust. Little baby has to trust. And they do. They will get fed when they ask for it, when they cry for it, or whatever word we're going to use. We care for our babies. We look after them. But it is trust, complete trust. They depend on those who care for them completely. Completely. The parents look after them. It's the parents that God has given that little child. They don't understand it. They're too young. But that's what it's all about. Is our faith that strong? Is our trust today as adults that strong? Like a little child, like a little baby? Or are we again like the Pharisee, trying to do it all by ourselves? Look at verse 17. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive... excuse me. Whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. Trust. Complete and utter trust. Complete and utter dependence upon our God for everything. But most of all for our salvation. And then as we go through our lives, as he has saved us through Jesus, every single day is a day of trust, stepping forward in faith, humbling ourselves before our Heavenly Father. Not telling God what to do. Have you ever tried that? I know I tried it occasionally. I can remember back that far. Try telling your father that you know more than him. Did it work? Doesn't work, does it? Trying to stand in our own importance even before our God. The Pharisee, he saw that his total dependence was upon himself. He knew more even than his God. He knew how he could keep God happy, or so he thought. He thought that he could do everything that was required to be one of God's children. The tax collector humbled himself before his God, acknowledged that he was the worst of sinners, acknowledged that he'd had to have total, complete dependence upon his Heavenly Father. We too have that same total, complete dependence upon our Heavenly Father. He has saved us through Jesus. He has restored us. The one who humbled himself will be exalted. Are you walking that way? Are you stepping out in faith that very way? And humbleness is not diminished or doesn't diminish us in any way in our lives. It just means that we trust completely in our Heavenly Father. He has promised so much. Believing in Jesus, trusting in him completely. Those who humble themselves before God will be exalted there in that kingdom of glory. How's your walk going? I know I need to keep an eye on in my daily walk. How's your walk going with your God? Are you humble before him? Or are you bold enough every now and then to try and test the waters and tell him what to do? Could be anything. We do not know best. He does. How do we know that? Well, he sent his son as the only answer for those lost in sin. All that he has done to draw us to him each and every day. The Pharisee thought he was better than anyone else. The tax collector knew that he needed his heavenly Father every single day. Our faith needs to be like that little child, trusting in him every single day. It's easy, isn't it? Hey? It's real easy to be humble. It's real easy to trust in God every single day. But Satan will test you. He does it. But our God is bigger and stronger than him, and his Satan's days are numbered. I tell you, Jesus said, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. Look forward. Look forward to all the blessings that God provides. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Let's pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we know even in this passage you call upon us to be humble before you, to realise that we can do nothing to save ourselves. We can do nothing in our own strength because you are our Abba Father. Gracious God, may we approach you and live our lives as your beloved children, trusting in you every single day. We trust and we believe when we repented of our sins and you clothed us with the very righteousness of Jesus. So Heavenly Father, keep us humble. Keep us living our lives for you and for your glory every single day. When our pride gets in the way, give us a reminder. We won't walk the walk and talk the talk of your as your beloved children. Remind us again. So strengthen us, empower us through your Holy Spirit as we live humble lives. We look forward to the glory that awaits each and every one of us as your children. And we just pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to conclude our worship. We're going to sing together our last hymn, Jesus, the Joy of Loving Hearts. name of the grace, the mercy, and the peace, the fellowship and love of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, may he rest and abide with each and every one of us, both now and forevermore. Amen.